If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah. That's before Job, Esther, Job, Psalms, right in that area. Nehemiah. We're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. This is Nehemiah talking to the people about rebuilding the wall. We got a description of how massive that wall was in the class. Quite an undertaking. Nehemiah chapter 2, 17 and 18. Then I said to them, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in wait, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach." And I told them of the land of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's word that he had spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work.
In all of that educational time, not one class did I ever take in building a wall. But it did not stop me. If you were here in class this morning, you realize that there are just things that have happened that I just dive into and then I mess it up well and let somebody else fix it. But the wall will be built. For just a few minutes, I want you to think with me about this idea. The wall will be built. Here's what I think is important to understand. God's work is going to be done. God's will is going to be done. The question is not whether God's work will be done. The question is not will God's will happen, but whether or not you and I will be a part of it. Is He going to be able to work here? Or is He going to have to let someone else do the work somewhere else? The wall will be built. Now, I decided one day that I needed to build a wall. Part of my house had ended at a certain area, and I had built on an overhang to my work shed. And I built a wall, and I said, I can brick it. After all, it's really easy. I mean, think about it. Look how sharp these lines are. I can follow a line. That's not a problem. And they line up this way, and they line up this way, and I got the bricks, and everything's going to be simple. No problem. The wall will be built. And after three lines, I was so far off, it wasn't going to be fixed. That's just the history of my building. But you know what? The wall was built. When you get someone involved who knows what he's doing, it gets done. And it was done. The question was not, will the wall be built? The only question was I going to allow it to be built in the only way it could? And that was to hire somebody to do it. But in God's case, He's not hiring somebody to do it. We're doing it. And somebody will. The wall will be built. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Nehemiah. And for just a few minutes, I want you to think with me about this building of the wall. Now, there are some people who are going to be involved and some people who are not. And I want you to think with me about three attitudes that will keep any particular person from being a part of the building of the wall. And then we close with the only attitude that will keep the wall being built. Number one, I want you to notice with me that one of the things that will keep someone from being a part of the building of the wall is the attitude that says, I want you to build the wall for me. As the book opens, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. In verse 2, Nehemiah says, I asked Hanani, one of my co-workers, I asked him who had come with some men from Judah, I asked him concerning the captives who were left over from the captivity, and also concerning Jerusalem. And he said in verse 3, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. The first thing that I want us to notice is this. When God sent His people off into captivity to Babylon, the way they did things was that not every single person from that area was taken off into captivity. He left behind, the king did, he left behind the poorest of the poor. And they had been living in that place for 70 years. And during that time, not one of them lifted a hand to begin rebuilding the wall that had been broken down. That, to me, is interesting. Now, you might say, well, now, wait a minute. They were the poorest of the poor. They didn't have the means. How can you expect them even to build? Well, they're still God's people. And with God, you can do anything you need to do and that God wants you to do. Did they, in fact, turn to God and say, we're going to reconstruct. We're going to start the building? No. You know what they did instead? They teamed up with the heathen nations who came in to fill the void that was left when the people were gone. And they intermarried. And they began living in ways they should not have. They waited around. Let's just think if God will build the wall for us. Why didn't they get started? Why didn't they jump on the work? I don't know. But the attitude exists in every situation that there are some people who say, you know, I'm just going to sit back and let you build it for me. We come to the wise man in Proverbs 18 and verse 9. And he said, the man who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. In other words, when the king came in and destroyed the city, we know how bad that is. But if indeed these people of God who were left behind, if it is the case that they should have started the building of the wall, if they were in fact lazy people, then there's no difference, according to the wise man, between the one who destroyed the city and the lazy person who sits around and doesn't do anything about it. They are the same. That's what God says to you and me. We are the slothful and the lazy. And we are brothers to those who would destroy this church and who would take it down. The wise man continued in Proverbs 24 and in verse 30. And he said, I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown. The surface was covered with nettles. And the stone wall broken down. How long does it take for laziness to be apparent? How long does it take? Well, let me ask you. Just decide to be lazy for a month at your house. Nobody's going to vacuum. Nobody's going to clean. Nobody's going to fix up the toilets. Nobody's going to repair. Nobody's going to do anything to straighten things in a month. Will you know that some lazy people are doing that? I guarantee you'll know. My wife taught me early on that even though I didn't consider myself to be lazy, I also didn't consider myself to be, I shouldn't maybe do some things. But there are some things that I didn't even think about. You know, it just never occurred to me that somebody thinks God's on it. After we got married, it just never occurred to me. It honestly never crossed my mind. Well, we had lived together for a year or two. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. I never saw it done. Didn't know who did it. Maybe at night somebody came in and did it. I didn't know. But there came a point in which he said, you know, I think I need to teach you. And it wasn't necessary that I was lazy, but I was lazy enough not to consider and try to figure out, now what's going on here? Maybe I need to help. Problem is that lazy people actually end up being those who might cause and do cause dissension in the church by not being involved. Lazy people have a negative, deleterious effect on the local church. If anybody sits around in the church and says, I'm going to let you build the wall for me, they're wanting to take advantage of somebody else's work. I want to benefit from somebody else. And number two, they sit around with this false sense of security because it's not based on their work. It is as though that they could say, I'm on the way to heaven because I have my name associated with this church. Well, if you're not a part of building the wall, then you are trying to be secure before God with letting somebody else do your work for you. And that will impede the work, and it certainly keeps you from doing anything. Number two, there's a second thing that could cause people not to be involved in building the work. Verses 4 through 11, we find within this context a prayer of Nehemiah. Notice, if you will, starting in verse 5. I pray, O Lord God, great and awesome God, you who keep covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, night, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants. Listen to this. And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. The second attitude that impedes the work and stops people from working is someone who says, I'll build the wall, but I want to do it the way I want to do it. That was the history of God's people. Almost from the day that God gave them His law in Exodus chapter 20, we find them heading off in their own direction. In fact, as Moses was up on the mountain receiving the law, remember what the people of God were doing. They had built an idol and were partying around it and sacrificing. Now, someone might say, well, now, wait a minute. God had not given them the law yet, therefore that wasn't wrong. Oh, I beg to differ. You go back and look. Before Moses went up on the mountain to get the law of God, the Bible says that God, from Mount Sinai, with His own mouth, spoke the Ten Commandments, the first of which is, you shall love the Lord your God and have no other gods before Me. Those were His words from His mouth while they stood around the foot of the mountain. So they knew that sacrificing to idol God wasn't right. They were so afraid of hearing His voice, that's why they sent Moses on the mountain to get the law from God so that they would not have to listen to His fearsome voice. But the history of God's people, I want to build the wall myself my own way. So finally we get to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is returning to the land because for 70 years God had sent them off into captivity. Why? Because they tried to build the wall their own way, not God's way. Those people, those who want to build the wall their own way, they don't follow the leaders. They don't get behind those who are leading the work in God's way. They want to follow their own direction. They end up causing dissension because somebody will follow them to run the way that is different than what the leaders want to have done. I'm sure it has happened here. It has happened in Richmond. But there are people who decide individually, we're not going to walk this way. Well, we can't keep you or make you walk the way we want to. But we can keep you from walking your way while you're here. You can't walk with us. And you need to walk somewhere else. But in this case, it is true that there are people who want to build the wall and build it in their own way. They're just selfish people. John says in 1 John, starting in verse 18, brethren, let us not love in word and tongue only, but in deed and in truth. By this we will know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. But if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Down deep, selfish people know their hearts tell them, this is not right. This is not right. But they just perceive the way they want to and recognize that if your heart doesn't condemn you, God does know the truth. I think John is saying there, if your heart tells you you're going in the wrong direction, God already knows it. And by implication, if your heart doesn't tell you, God already knows it. Therefore, what God wants is this. He wants, and always has wanted, people who will build the wall the way He wants it built. There are some who want to build it their own way, and it will stop the work in its beginning stages. Oh, but the wall will be built because somebody will. Number three. A third attitude that obviously happens from time to time are those people who say, I'm not building that wall. I don't want it built. And I'm going to stop the building of it. In chapter 2. And in verse 19, we meet these guys. We meet Sanballat the Horonite. We meet Tobiah the Ammonite. And we meet Gershom the Arab. And these people said, and begin to mock the people of God. Will they build it? Will they sacrifice again? Later on, we find in chapter 4 that they actually begin to oppose. Sanballat raised up an army, and he's going to oppose this happening. Tobiah tries another thing. He begins to make fun of them, and he says, even if they build it, if a fox runs over, it'll fall down. There are always going to be people who are going to oppose the building and the work that is being done. That's always the case. There are people who don't want it to happen. There are people who are going to stop it. There are people who are going to get in the way and throw up all kinds of roadblocks. We can't keep that from happening. But what we can do is keep them from having such an effect that the work is stopped. Nehemiah put together a way they can keep working even against the opposition. Churches need to do the same thing. We need to have in place ways in which we're going to keep working no matter what some might want, which is to shut it down and to stop it and to raise up opposition. There is going to be opposition. In fact, we all know it. The only time you get opposition is when you start doing something. If you're not doing anything, nobody's going to oppose it, because there's nothing to oppose. So if you really want to find out the opposition, start doing something. There are people who don't want this work to last. They will raise up whatever they can to stop it, because the devil doesn't want us to be successful. But listen to God, who, through the writer of the book of Hebrews, says in chapter 3 and in verse 18, to whom did God promise that they would not enter His rest? Those who would not obey. Those who oppose the work of God, they don't get to rest. They don't get to find God's promised rest. The work will happen. The wall will be built. Even though some will stand by and wait for you to build it for them. Some will volunteer, but they're going to want to do it themselves their own way. But others are going to stand to oppose you. All of these things are going to happen. But the only way to ensure that the wall will be built is to listen to the people of God who said, let us rise up and build. What did that mean? That means that they understood what the work was. Number two, they understood how to get it done. It was not going to be by their own abilities. It was going to be working hand in hand with God. And number three, it was following those who were leading them to get the work done. I often tell, not often, every time, when a new person or a new family comes to Richmond, I have a visit with them. And I make it very clear. Number one, we love the idea that you want to be here. It's outstanding. Glad to have you come be a part. And to be a part of the Richmond congregation doesn't mean that you have to set your mind off to the side and just adopt everything we say and become robots. We're not going to do that. And we all have our own thoughts and our own ideas. And there are people who don't necessarily believe everything that I preach or everything that is taught. Every church has that. But what I tell them is this. You're free to continue to believe what you understand. Just keep listening and let's study together. But what you're not free to do, you are not free to get others to buy into what you believe that's different from what's being taught here. Our shepherds lead us in a certain way. We're going to keep going that way. And as long as they're leading it that I think is the right way, even though I don't agree with everything they do, I'm going to support them, I'm going to be with them, and I'm going to stay involved. Because that's what we do. And that's what God expects. To say, I will build the wall means I'm going to follow those leaders. And I'm going to be with them the whole way. And I'm going to be with my brethren who are also involved in the leading or in the working to build the wall. Finally, listen to the words of Nehemiah chapter 6, starting in verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And it happened. When all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. A wall will be built. And those who say, I'll build, will be a powerful witness. And everybody will see it. That was done by God. Get on board. Build the wall. Your shepherds are leading you in wall building. And there's enough faithful people here that it will be built. But to make it be built as well and as powerful as it can be, the more who are involved in the building, the better it will be. Let's find full potential. The wall will be built. As we close, the portico is always going to be done. There is coming a day when the Lord will return. His will happen. The faithful will find the rest. The unfaithful will be with the rest who don't make it. If you're not a child of God today, get on board. Be involved in the family of God. Allow yourself to say, okay, I'm going to do what God wants, submitting to Jesus, obedient to His will, when He said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Today, if you're not a child of God, or if you're not faithfully involved in the wall building that God wants you to do, will you not come and say to these shepherds and to our God, I'm going to help you. Here's what I want to do. He'll come as we stand in